Hi, and welcome to the Her Podcast, where it's all about her mind, her body, and her life. I'm Dr. Pam Peek, and I'm so excited to have Chef Abby Gelman on with us today. But before we talk with Chef Gelman, do me a huge favor and please head on over to iTunes so you can rate and review the show. Why? Because that ramps up our visibility, and then we can attract more people just like you who want to know how to be their best her. Hey, thanks so much.
Her, the podcast.
The naked truth about women.
Her mind, her body, her life. It's all about her.
All right, on this episode, we are thrilled to have our chef Abby Gelman on with us. Again, she's our go-to culinary nutritionist. What in the heck is that? Well, she is a master's level registered dietitian and a certified chef. She not only knows how to educate, honey, she works with the food too. What a combo, all in one human being. And she is going to help us understand about not only what we're doing with breakfast today, but what goes on. What's the history of breakfast? So this is going to be the coolest episode. Chef Abby, welcome back to Her.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here, as always.
All right. So, you know, let's talk about breakfast. Now, breakfast has been called the most hyped meal of the day. You got it. I mean, if you look on everything from social media to television, radio, and all the rest of it, they're just shoving breakfast at us. I mean, what's that all about? And then I saw and I shared with you this chart of what, and I quote, breakfast food looks like. Oh my gosh. And then the dessert equivalent. And I was just like, are you flipping kidding me? I mean, I'm just going to give you one example and we'll just start going down this list and try to understand, you know, what's going on today. And then a little bit about the history of breakfast to put it all in perspective and how we got into this mess in the first place. So let's just try first with one of the fast food purveyors has a banana chocolate chip muffin. I think it weighs 36 pounds. I'm just kidding. So it's one serving. Okay. And it has, this is one muffin. It has 510 calories. Oh, Lord help us all. It has 48 grams of sugar. Now let's compare this to another coffee-type fast food purveyor, right, with a vanilla buttercream cupcake, which has, and I quote, only 34 grams versus the 49 grams in the breakfast food and 400 calories. What happened here? This is terrible.
I know.
Chef Abby, help us.
Somewhere along the way, breakfast became dessert, right? So muffins are essentially like cake right now. So just those two that you were talking about, it's a muffin that has more calories and sugar than a cupcake. So at some point in time, we started eating breakfast for dessert for breakfast and seemed to think that was pretty normal.
Yeah, but all these people now, for instance, are going to grab that blueberry fruit on the bottom yogurt,
right,
thinking they're getting a pretty good deal. Hey, the word yogurt's in there, so immediately you're thinking healthy, only to find out because they have that syrupy stuff on the bottom that the total sugar equivalent, hold on to your bra straps out there in Her Podcast land, is 15 grams of sugar, 130
right,
calories. And then you compare that to a French vanilla ice cream, half a cup, which has only 14 grams of sugar versus the 19 grams in the flipping yogurt. Now, what's up with that?
So all sorts of processed foods, as we've talked about before, are doing this whole sugar, fat, you know, thing to your brain. So what we've found is that a lot of foods, whether we think they're wholesome like yogurt or not, if they're processed in any way, there's all of this added sugar being put in because people have a sweet tooth, or it sells better, or people think it tastes better. And so what you see is, in order to sell, all of these food products are just getting more and more and more sugar, which in turn makes everyone have more and more sweet tooth, and then all we do is sit around and eat all of this processed sugar.
And we know, you know, I wrote the book, The Hunger Fix, which became a New York Times bestseller and is sort of the consumer book now on food addiction and overeating and binging. And, you know, what you're saying goes hand in hand with this because for all intent and purposes, you're eating a bunch of sugar, which basically sugar begets sugar. This is refined sugar. It just, you know, ignites that reward center in the brain. And before you know it, you're off and running. So you start the day with some of the sugary stuff. All right. So people are now going to say, well, wait a minute. I'm going to have something healthy like, a cup of granola cereal. Only to find out, would you please read the label? There are 26 grams of sugar in there, and that is equivalent to, I hope you're sitting down, 5 Oreo cookies, which are only 23 grams of sugar. What? Chef Abby, help us.
Yeah, you see this all the time. So this is, and I go back to it, and it's not necessarily workable for everyone, but I always push whole foods and cooking over buying something packaged. But if you are going to buy something packaged, and that's just part of your lifestyle, which, let's face it, is part of everyone's lifestyle at this point, right? We all have grab-and-go days and times and things that we can't cook, or some of us just don't like to cook. So if we're going to buy packaged foods, we need to be educated about what we're looking at. So we might think it's healthy. It might even say healthy on it. But when you look at the label, it could have 26 grams of sugar. And you could say, why does this granola bar have so much sugar? Or why does this yogurt have so much sugar? But we need to look and see what it is that we're putting in our mouths and make sure that we're not just buying processed garbage, essentially.
Well, speaking of processed garbage, I have a real beef with all these, you know, energy bar things out there, as you're well aware, which I think are nothing more than glorified candy bars. And, you know, and people say, well, okay, then I'll just get one of these peanut granola bars instead. Read the label. Oh, no. Label shock time again. Okay, so we got 12 grams of sugar here. And then that's exactly what is found, right, in a candy bar, which classically has about 14 grams of sugar. So, hey, here's your candy bar. You know, I mean, seriously? So let's stop this for a second. Stop the insanity, Chef Abby. And all right, now what I want you to do is give us some natural, easy to do substitutes for all this junk. Okay, so just start right on in.
Okay, so I'm a big fan of nut butter. So peanut butter, almond butter, cashew butter. If you can eat nuts, always and look to nut butter. You can get little packets that are grab and go. So if that's part of your issue, you can buy those. They make those. Those are easy. You can keep them in your purse, in your car, in your desk, anywhere. They don't need to be refrigerated. So that, you can put it on a piece of Wasa cracker. You can put it on a whole wheat English muffin. You can put it on a banana. You can put it on an apple. So,
oh, you know what I do? You know what I do? I love Ezekiel bread. So
also
good.
Excellent.
And you notice I said that word bread out there, but it's kind of like really not bread because it's nothing but good things. What's in Ezekiel bread? Tell everyone.
It's usually gluten-free bread and it's sprouted grains. So you can get gluten-free.
And it's got legumes in it?
Yep.
It also has lentil in it too.
Hearty. Yeah. Some of them do, there's a few different kinds, but they stay in your freezer and you just take a piece out and toast it whenever you want. They make the little English muffins from Ezekiel also.
And it also has protein because of the legume, right?
Yes, exactly. And all the
which is kind of cool. All right, so let's get back to breakfast again. So you were talking about the nut butters. I'm a total, absolute fanatic for the nut butters. And I think it's really important for everyone to know, because you taught me this, Chef Abby, to go for, you know, organic when you can, but make sure it's full fatted. Full fatted. Yes. Don't get any of this fat-free or low-fat junk, because it's just processed junk.
Exactly. And so if you get something whole fat, fat keeps you full and satisfied. And a lot of times, for example, with, let's say, yogurt, the difference between a whole fat yogurt and a no fat yogurt is only 4%. A whole milk yogurt is only 4% of fat. So if you don't have a cholesterol issue or any kind of blood, you know, HDL, LDL, cholesterol type issue, then I would suggest a whole milk product or a whole fat product, because just like the, you know, the low carb craze, the low fat craze, anytime we've seen kind of a craze around decreasing one of the macronutrients, they're replacing it with something chemical, you know, the majority of the time. So you think you're getting a better product, but really you're not.
Okay, we want to know more and more and more. What other options are there for breakfast in the morning?
Okay, so dairy, we kind of went down the dairy road. So you can do the same thing with, you know, wasa or English muffin or, you know, the Ezekiel bread, all of that, but put ricotta cheese on it, maybe with some figs and some honey, or maybe with some sliced apples. There's also, you can just use a regular piece of cheese. You can have a baby bell. You can have a piece of cheddar. You know, that if you have cheese, any kind of cheese you like, and you just have 1 or 2 ounces, that's really great protein to get you started in the morning as well.
Okay. And now what about things like smoothies and shakes?
We can move that into smoothies. So I would say, again, make your own smoothie. Some places you can buy it, but it, again, if you buy it, you're not sure what they're putting into it unless you go to a place that makes it for you in front of you and you can tell them what to put in it. But I like to do, I call it the building blocks of a nourishing smoothie. So first you have a protein base. It could be yogurt, it could be kefir, it could be almond milk. Maybe you're putting a little protein powder in there if you just use water or like soy milk or something. And then I usually like to put frozen fruit, any kind of frozen fruit that you like. If you prefer a thinner smoothie, then use not frozen fruit. I usually also throw in some greens. Spinach has no flavor at all. So if you're a little put off by putting green things in your smoothies, I promise you the spinach has no flavor. Kale, Swiss chard. I also like cucumber in there. It adds like a nice light flavor. And then you can put in, you know, nut butter again. You can put in chia seeds. You can put in flax seeds. You could even put cacao in there. Whatever kind of things you like. But you really only need 3 things. You only need some kind of protein, like a yogurt, and fruit, and, well, actually 2 things. That's really all you need. And then you can jazz it up with vegetables or other stuff.
Well, you know, I think it's really important for everyone out there in the Her podcast land to understand that, girlfriends, you are not eating enough protein. Are you are you hearing me here?
Yeah.
That you just don't. I mean, you're going, oh, I'll just grab a little, you know, a cracker here and there. Really? Seriously? Come on now. Now, an average woman needs, I mean, you're not Venus Williams, right? That's what I mean. She's not average. she's in a different class by herself. I'm talking about most of you just sort of rolling around out there, just wonderful people trying to stay fit and healthy and all the rest of it. You need a minimum of 50 grams of protein a day.
Yes.
50.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so as Chef Abby is taught me a million different which ways, read your labels and start understanding where protein hides out. And a lot of women, for instance, are just leaving their protein for one meal or just little bits and pieces here and there. And it's just, you know, come on, be more strategic. And yeah. protein is so important. Plus, it's satisfying. So that's mm-hmm. one of the reasons why I like to talk about protein like this. So eggs are another thing, yes. Chef Abby, that women bring up yes. to me. What are the easiest ways to be able to play the whole egg game?
Well, I always keep and suggest to other people to keep hard-boiled eggs in your fridge. That's a really good grab-and-go snack or breakfast. Very easy, and they stay for a week. So always hard-boiled eggs. And regular eggs are also very versatile. So you can, let's say you open your drawer, you have a couple different vegetables, you don't know what to do, you can stir-fry the vegetables and stir-fry an egg in there. You can make a frittata, you can make an omelet, you can just saute some vegetables and then make scrambled eggs to go with it. Eggs basically can be any meal of the day. Not just breakfast, and they're super versatile and very easy to do grab and go.
And you see egg white in the carton. You know, that's another real simple
yep, you
thing
do
you can
too.
Do, mm-hmm. right? And
yep.
you just measure it out
eggs,
and just read the
exactly.
lid. Yeah,
exactly. And for the eggs, too, it's another thing. They've been vilified a little bit, but again, if you do not have a cholesterol issue, you can have eggs every day. If you do have a cholesterol issue, then you just have to watch the yolk to a certain extent. But as Dr. P just said, the whites are great. That's where a lot of the protein is. So you can focus on the egg whites too.
Okay. Now, girlfriends out there, all right, in her podcast land, one of the things you want to remember is that it's about 3.5 grams per egg. Right, of protein. So if you're looking to, you know, hit double digits here, then 3 egg whites worth will get you there in a heartbeat and a half. And then
yeah.
it depends upon what else you want to add. So if it's something to the yeah. side or back and forth. Quite frankly, I just love the hard-boiled egg sitting in the refrigerator thing and just doing the whole,
oh, yeah.
if you want to do grab and go, that's sort of the way to go, you know, in a big way.
Exactly.
What if someone is asking you now about this whole issue of cereal? What's a good cereal? I mean, you hear all these cereals getting, you know, like totally trashed
yeah.
out there because they're so filled with processed everything, especially coated with sugar and
yeah.
you know. So what's cool to go to out there?
Cereal is tough. You have to really know how to read the label and look at the sugar content, because over time, just like a lot of other processed foods, they keep adding more and more sugar and everything's coated. So there are some brands that are better than others. Barbara's is a brand that I really like. Post does things that are shredded wheat. Other brands also do shredded wheat. You just have to look at the label. Usually there's no added sugar and things like that. Puffed rice, bran cereals like All Bran and Fiber One and things like that usually have minimal sugar added as well.
What about Kashi?
And Kashi is a mix too. So they're a great brand, and they've been doing a lot of changes lately. So you just, and they have so many different kinds, and they have a lot of protein too, which I like. You just have to look at, I feel like Go Lean and Go Lean Crunch have less sugar. But it's a good brand to look at. And if you go into more of like the organic aisle of your supermarket, that's where some of the brands with less sugar usually live.
Okay. And then if you're going for the hot cereals, clearly the 5 grains and the, you know, steel cut oatmeal and all the rest of it are really great things. I think it's really important right now for people to also, you know, let's step back for a minute. Chef Abby, you've done, you know, needless to say, your A-plus job of giving us your chef-like, you know, options here. And this is great. Let's step back for a second. And let's think about this whole issue of breakfast. You know, when you look at the history of breakfast, it's not what you think it is. Because if you're a millennial or younger or whatever, what you probably didn't realize is that people have not been, you know, having breakfast the way we've been discussing it, traditionally for quite some time. It was when the Kellogg's people, way back when, and others post and others in that era began to really market breakfast with a tagline that you'll do so much better and life will be so much better if you have your breakfast in the morning. I think that that's all great, except for one little problem, and that is research science has now shown that if you've been eating all the way up until like 1 in the morning, right, mm-hmm. then mm-hmm. do you really think having yeah. a 7 a.m. breakfast is really where it's at? If you've been like, you know, eating pizza and, you know, doing your binging, you know, with you, Ben, and Jerry in bed together watching mm-hmm. Law and Order marathons until midnight or whatever, and then you wake up in the morning and you're not particularly hungry, but then someone's saying you should have breakfast. Well, I think, you know, you and I talked about this, Chef Abby, and that is that, you know, if you really haven't left a good solid 12 hours, a good solid 12 hours between the last time you ate and then, well, let's just call it what it is. It's not breakfast. It's break the fast, right? Break fast.
Yep.
Well, a good fast physiologically then is more like, when I say fast, I don't mean in the sort of draconian way, but I mean in a way that's physiologically great for your body to rejuvenate, etc. It's about a good 12 hours, and then if you think about it, at 7 p.m. at night until 7 a.m. in the morning, and that's very reasonable, and you should absolutely wake up truly hungry. So yeah. I think all that we've been talking about, right, is within mm-hmm. the context of a real breakfast, a real true break the fast, and not one of these where it's been way less than 12 hours and then you're supposed to eat again. So mm-hmm. think twice and look at your look at your clock and say, whoa, where am I getting those 12 hours? And think about that, because, hey, there's nothing sacrosanct about, you know, if you end up breaking the fast, as it were, at 10 a.m. or 11 a.m. or even noon, depending upon what time was the last time you ate, you know. Mm-hmm. And this is especially true for people who are night shift workers and other people who may have some other stuff going on. So that's the one context that's brand new, that's really new hot science that I want to kind of throw out there, so that when you do break the fast, you're having these healthy options that Chef Abby has talked about, right?
Yes.
So how do you feel about that, Chef Abby?
I think it's great. And I always, whenever I hear someone say they're not a breakfast eater or they generally don't eat before a certain time, the first question I always ask is, well, how late at night do you eat? And 99% of the time, these are people who eat late dinners or snackers at night. So it makes sense that when you get up in the morning to get ready for work or school or wherever you're going, that you're not hungry if you just ate 7 hours ago.
Right. And you and I have talked about the fact that so many people are night bingers, right?
Yes.
It's kind of hard to binge at work, you know. I mean, Lord knows it happens. But, you know, but when you get home and you just sort of fall into that comfy chair and you turn on the tube and then you just sort of space out, you know, a lot of people de-stress and also self-soothe to numb stress in their life with food. And one of the most comfortable times to do it is in the quiet sanctum of their own, you know, home. And that would be at nighttime. So if that's true and you're eating all the way until 10 or 11 o'clock at night, then, hey, all right, we're talking 11 or 12 o'clock, when you break the fast. So start mm-hmm. doing a little bit of timing like that, and it really works incredibly well. Wow.
Yes.
Okay, so I just want to make sure everyone knows that we've been talking about you know, what goes on with breakfast, putting it into a context here so people understand that breakfast has morphed into, oh no, dessert, you know, in so many respects. And as Chef Abby said, read the label. So Chef Abby, summarize for us. Just put it out there for our Her podcast audience. What are those last bits of wisdom and knowledge you want to impart about all things breakfast?
The most basic is pay attention to what you're eating. Like that, read the labels, think about what it is that you're putting in your mouth. Don't just grab something in a mindless way. Try to be mindful. And always protein, protein, protein. Don't be scared of fat. Make sure that you read the labels for added sugar as well, now that that's going to be included in things going forward.
Fantastic. This is so good. So have a healthy one when you truly break the fast. Keep that 12-hour rule in mind for sure, and keep it healthy as you can. And, you know, quite frankly, eating late at night, not such a great idea, just between you and me. Just saying, as Chef Abby would say. We've been talking to Chef Abby Gailman, our go-to nutritionist and culinary nutrition expert. That means that she's a trained chef and registered dietitian and knows everything there is to know about food. Right, Chef Abby?
Yes, absolutely.
I know. Go ahead and just give yourself a little pat on the back there. And if you want to learn more about Chef Abby Gailman's marvelous work, please go to her website at culinarynutritioncuisine.com. You've just heard the truth about breakfast. I'm Dr. Pam Peake. Hey, remember to catch every episode of the Her Podcast, where you learn about her mind, her body, and her life. Just hit subscribe on iTunes or on our show page at RadioMD.com. And if I can just ask you a huge favor, please just take a few seconds and rate the podcast on iTunes. The reason is we want to attract more people just like you to the show. And the only way we can do that is if you rate us, and that helps the show get greater visibility. And guess what? You can leave a review as well. And my mom's reading these, so they better look good. That's what I'm just saying. And please do that for us. We would greatly appreciate it. Again, I'm Dr. Pam Peake. Follow me on Twitter at PamPeakeMD. And you can also check out our Her Radio show page at RadioMD.com for all of our past episodes. Thanks for listening, and please stay well.